Right here, I guess.
Okay, this is classic cartoons, and in my case, I'd like to think 50s through 80s, but 90s or anything beyond is fine as well. I was born in 62, so this is the stuff I grew up with. Some of the more recent cartoons I may not know as much, but you know, you guys probably know, and you can think of some good ideas and things like that. Now, I have been to a whole bunch of these conventions. I've been to all 23 editions of Anthrocon.
Wow.
I've been on maybe five or six of these fur parks, Pine Fur Con and Anthro New England and so on. And I just did one in August called Saturday Morning Con Toons. Not too many people were there for the first year, but we did a whole bunch of panels. We did one on The Simpsons. We did one on live action animation mix. We had classic cartoons. We had Hanna-Barbera cartoons. They had people doing things on anime and so on. So I'm going to start off with a message from our sponsor. Now, Top Cat, who premiered a few months before I was born, late 61, he's doing a bank commercial here in Scotland, I believe, or the UK. I hope you can hear it all right.
Okay, Benny, remember the pledge?
Sure, DC. Good morning. Can I help?
You can indeed, my dear. I was hoping to borrow you from a little moolah.
Moolah?
I need to borrow a little money for a new home.
Right.
Come on in.
Shall we take a seat?
Benny, you're up. My previous home has been destroyed, carried away by the trash men on the orders of Officer Bibble, and callously crushed.
Oh, that's awful. You poor thing.
I love that old home. Please help me buy a new one. Just think of the children.
No problem.
Really? No problem? I'm Betty. Enough with the violin.
Okay, Tishy.
Now then, let's get down to business.
Okay. Shall we start with your name?
Top Cat! Why, Officer Dibble, welcome to my humble abode. Won't you come in? Me and the boys are having a pool game in the library.
Now, the thing is, what's different than the one I was doing in Woburn, Mass., that's where we had that convention, is I'm going to try to stick to furry, okay? I had a little bit of everything. So that one right there was obviously based on the Phil Silvers show, You'll Never Get Rich. You know, this trickster type of guy and, you know, smart talker type of thing or whatever like that. Some of the people that were the voices of Top Cat, I think, may have passed away by the time that was made. The guy that did Benny the Ball, for example. But that shows you what they could do. Hanna-Barbera doing a commercial based on an old series from the early 60s that a lot of us remember. And some of the books that I have, my own collection, there's actually the Hanna-Barbera Treasury. This is by Jerry Beck. Probably out of print now, and it's probably a little on the expensive side. Might have been about $40, coffee table book, when it first came out. But it had all these things about Snagglepuss, Scooby-Doo, Johnny Quest, Adamant, all these little mini comics and everything like that. And it's a pretty impressive book. And like I say, these days you may have to go to eBay or Amazon or something like that. But just to look at all these characters and to think about what Hanna-Barbera did. You know, these two guys used to work for MGM. They had a little something called Tom and Jerry. Well, MGM closed the studios. He said, well, why don't we do some cartoons on TV? And that's why we got Huckleberry Hound and all those early ones, Yogi Bear, Quick Draw McGraw, and so on. They have made us laugh, and they've thrilled us and things like that. I'm more into the comedy type of things. But again, I mentioned things like Johnny Quest and all that. So Hanna-Barbera really had a long heritage, and they're still kind of active technically today. They're doing some things, even though Hanna and Barbera are both passed on. And they have all the old characters, and sometimes they'll come back and they'll make live-action movies and things like that with, you know, like a mixture of live-action and animation. Well, they did the live-action version of the Flintstones, which did have some furry characters. You had Dino, and then how about all those little appliances? You know, you had a record player that was this bird that would do that and everything. It's a living! You know, Don Messick doing the voice and everything. So you had that, but again, Hanna-Barbera alone gave us so many memories. And there weren't that many studios doing TV animation back in the 50s and 60s. You had a few, but they gave us so many characters, you know. And back then it was appointment viewing. You didn't really have a VCR or whatever. So whenever Yogi Bear was on, you were watching that. You didn't have YouTube. You didn't have all these different things, you know. So you had a lot of great things done by Hanna-Barbera over the years. And, of course, there were other studios as well. I mean, Looney Tunes, Warner Brothers, Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, all these characters. The people like Chuck Jones and Friz Freleng who put them together, it's just a huge legacy. And they still do these today, of course, with Warner Brothers characters and all that sort of stuff. They reboot them. So I don't really have anything about Looney Tunes, but At one point, they closed the Warner Brothers studio, and the people that were making the cartoons started their own studio called the Patty Freeling, and of course, they did the opening credits for the Pink Panther movie. This is another Jerry Beck book, and it talks all about the different actual live-action movies that had Peter Sellers and so on, but so many great shorts as well. NBC used to show them in the 70s. You had, let me see, The Ant and the Aardvark, I think I've got an example of that. You had Mr. Jaw with the late Artie Johnson. He just passed away. A lot of great cartoons came from DePatie Freeling. And this gentleman, Mark Arnold, did a book called Think Pink, the DePatie Freeling Studio story. And there are some things in here that you may, you know, maybe they were before you were born. Like, there was the Barclays, which was like Adam, it was like All in the Family, except they were all dogs, you know. You had Here Comes the Grump, which they recently made a movie called A Wizard's Tale that was based on that. But they had an excellent studio, DePatie Freeling, and we're going to give you an example right now, actually, of one of their cartoons. The Ant and the Aardvark, you had John Byner doing both voices. One was kind of like Jackie Mason. You know, he talked like this, Jackie Mason, the comedian. And then the other one was kind of a laid-back Dean Martin, Bing Crosby type thing, if I remember right. Let's give you a little bit of The Ant and the Aardvark. No way I can make it louder.
Boy, that ant almost got me. Hey,
oh,
there's
I know
something
what you
mean. I could sure use. Vitamins for strength. Directions. Take one each day for health and vitality. I wonder if they work for us little ants. Can't hurt to try.
Oh, they told me how to do this before and I forgot already.
If one a day will do as good as it says, 10 of them should do 10 times as good. You know what they say, everything comes to him who waits. So who am I to argue? I'll wait.
Yeah. Oh, I see it now, yeah. Sorry, I'm a Luddite a little bit.
No problem.
Here. I know you're still in there. Better give up and save us both a lot of trouble. I know that direct approach never works, but it doesn't have to
charge.
How do you like that? After all these years...
Oh, I see it now, yeah.
Oh, boy. These vitamins are great. I feel like I'm brilliant.
There it is. I see it now. Thanks. Okay. Yeah, that's a little better. I didn't want them all out, but that's better. Thanks.
You're stretching things too far, Ant. Now maybe you'll show us ants a little more respect. Ooh, you'll make me so mad. I'll give you such a chop.
Well, you get the idea, but this is your basic predator and prey. The Roadrunner and the Coyote, Tom and Jerry, all that sort of stuff. So that was just great. The Ant and the Aardvark gave you a little bit of that. They brought that back. Things like the Pink Panther, they've had some other series. One of them was actually done by Hanna-Barbera, was Pink Panther and Sons. And then recently they had, Pink Panther and Pals was one of the more recent ones, some of the more recent cartoons they did.
There was one from 1993 where Pink Panther actually
spoke. He spoke, yeah. That was Matt Frewer, who was Max Headroom, and he was in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. So you had that. And then I guess there were some early ones where, I'm trying to remember who it was, David Niven? There was like two shorts in the 60s where he spoke, and one of them was something like David Niven. I don't know. Well, I'll show you another DePatie Freeling one in a minute, but first, we know this movie. I'm going to give you a little bit of this.
This is a simple mistake.
come here unannounced on the day my daughter was to be married.
Well, actually, we were brought here against our will, so... Point is, I did not know that it was your car, and I certainly did not know about your daughter's wedding.
I trusted you, Mickey. I welcomed you into my home. We broke bread together. Grandmama made you a cannoli. And now did you repay my generosity with a rug made from the butt of a skunk. A skunk butt rug. You disrespected me. You disrespected my grandmama, who I buried in that skunk butt rug. I told you never to show your face here again, but here you are, snooping around with this. What are you? A performer? What's with the costume?
Sir, I am a
mime. She's a mime. This mime cannot speak. You can't speak if you're a mime.
No, I am a cop. And I'm on the Emmett Otterton case, and my evidence puts him in your car. So intimidate me.
Okay, we are doing a Zootopia panel tomorrow. Now, of course, definitely inspired by the Godfather movie from the early 70s. The book was 1969. You know, he has a wedding, and he has to grant, you know, grant favors and things like that. And the whole Marlon Brando impression. Now, this was made in the early 70s by DePatie Freleng, which was part of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Bugsy Beagle. Oh, what a pun.
Just remember that I eat my doggy bones and I get over here on time.
Louie the Labrador. Louie.
What the boss is saying is... Louie!
Howdy, fellas. I'm not late, am I?
Dawes Butler.
It's not right, the whole thing's up. In this business, you gotta be on time, right, fellas, huh? How are you, Chief? Can I get you anything, huh? Huh, Chief? Anything you say, Chief. You're looking good, Chief. In this here business, you gotta be on time, huh, Chief? And you want to know, because you've served plenty of time, right, Chief?
Shut up.
Yeah, sure, Chief. When the Chief tells me to shut up, I shut up. Yes, sir. Hey, I wouldn't...
Shut up, shutting up?
No, shutting up.
Yeah. Now, there's an old Warner Brothers line, so it's kind of ironic, because studio people used to be at Warner Brothers and things like that. Well, of course, you know, a big successful movie, the first two Godfather movies, huge hits, so they spoofed it. And as I mentioned, one of the other cartoons they had was Mr. Jaw, because you had Jaws. So they did that. Now, how many of you can remember when Goodfellas came out, there was actually kind of a cartoon version? Does anyone remember of it?
Goodfellas.
Goodfellas, they were pigeons. That's right. And, you know, these kids, you know, how do they know about this movie with all the R-rated language and things like that? Well, anyway, yeah, the Goodfellas was out there, so... All these different cartoons, I mean, whatever was a fad, whatever was a hit movie, they would go after. How many of us remember things like the CB Bears? CB Radio was hot. You had Pac-Man and the and Rubik's Cube and everything. You had things like that.
Yeah,
whenever there was...
CB Bears was like animated Charlie's Angels.
Just about, yeah. But it was, again, CB Radio and that whole sort of thing. And I was just thinking about another one about, you know, a popular... Well, just like rock and roll. you had something in the 60s called Squiddly Diddly, you know, well, Bo Diddly, you know, things like that. And more in the furry realm as well, you had Josie and the Pussycats. I mean, yeah, they were humans, but they wore ears for hats. It was Fursuit Saturday, you might say, you know? And where that theme song came from, I don't know how many of you remember, in the Jetsons, they used to have this incidental music. Dun, 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 dun. So Hoyt Curtin says, you know what, I'll put words to that. Josie the Pussycats. That's where that came from. Another little bit of musical trivia. Fred Silverman, ABC, CBS, and all that, he's in charge of the children's programming. He wanted a show that would feature teenagers and mysteries, and you can probably guess which one I'm thinking of now. Okay. He's flying on a plane, and they have the music piped in, and they're playing a big hit by Frank Sinatra. Doobie-doobie-doo. That's where Scooby-Doo got his name. You know, that's where it came from. So there were so many of these great studios. Total Television, Underdog, Tennessee Tuxedo, The King and Odie. You had the Go-Go Gophers, Klondike Cat, the Beagles, which was kind of like the Beatles, or at least maybe a little bit like the Smothers Brothers. This is another Mark Arnold book. And actually, Joe Harris, the creator of the Trix Rabbit and Underdog, was speaking at Anthrocon 10 years ago. And I bought this from his daughter. He has since passed away. But again, he was the guy that gave us both the Trix Rabbit and Underdog and some various other characters. So a lot of these classic cartoons, you'll see them on cable TV, you'll see them on YouTube and so on. You got all these DVD sets. I mean, I've got like...
There's a classic cartoon that probably not a lot of people already know, but maybe you do, because
yeah.
The character's a raccoon, Rory Raccoon.
Oh, Rory Raccoon, that was part of... that was actually part of Linus the Lionheart.
Yes.
And that's kind of interesting. Okay, Linus the Lionheart started in 64, and it was like a program-length commercial for Post cereals. Make your day a little bit better, a little bit better with Post. And they had different characters for the, like Alphabets had Lovable Truly the Postman, and then Post Toasties was Rory Raccoon, and then you had some bear, you know, you remember, can't get enough of that Golden Crisp
sugar bear.
That's where he came from. So the FCC made a rule in 1969, you could not have a series that was, you know, commercials with characters and then they're also in the program itself. No, that'll confuse the kids or brainwash them into getting their parents to buy the cereals. So it got canceled after a while.
Mickey Mouse does that. What does Mickey Mouse do? What has Mickey Mouse done in the last...
Oh, I know, yeah.
This is crazy.
But this is like about TV. It's like an FCC rule or something like that.
So it can't be back to back.
Doesn't apply now, right?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. I mean, you could do one or the other, but you couldn't really do that. And just think of all that. I mean, a lot of these cartoons were, you know, promotions for toys and everything. What was it, G.I. Joe or Barbie or different things? Teddy Ruxpin? Teddy Ruxpin? I used to work at...
Jim the Holograms.
'86, I was working for Bradley's, a now-defunct department store chain, and I was right next to the toy department, and every time you walk past it, hi, how are you? I'm Teddy Ruxpin. And that was a teddy bear, and some of you are young, you may not have known about it, that had a little cassette thing inside, and later it was like a microchip, something like that. So it would talk, and it would light up and everything. It was a product, you know? But here's the important thing to remember, cartoons are not just for kids. You know, in fact, you have some adult things, like you had Fritz the Cat and all that sort of stuff.
I was waiting for you to say that.
Exactly, yeah, Ralph Bakshi, the same guy that did Mighty Mouse and things like that.
Originally, the Looney Tunes was originally meant for adults, but they're political propaganda.
Oh, exactly, right, yeah. Of course, you know, there were some controversial Looney Tunes. We have the so-called Censored 11, like Coal Black and De Seven Dwarfs. Now, we all know about the controversy with Song of the South. I actually bought that on DVD. It was like a bootleg from England or Europe or something like that. And for some reason, they also included Coal Black and the Seven Dwarfs, which was Warner Brothers. And again, it's a lot of stereotypes. But the people that made that, the musicians and everything, they were black and they actually didn't mind it. You know, it was a different time back then. And that's another reason why, you know, Song of the South, well, why don't they put it on DVD? Well, it's, you know, stereotypical and all this sort of stuff. If they put it out and had someone like Whoopi Goldberg come out and explain, this is what things were like back then, you know what I mean? Because they really had some very racist cartoons that came out with Bugs Bunny and things like that. But if you come out and say, you know what, they made these, this was our past, it's a shame that they made it, but they made it, you know?
Things came from it. I mean, look at the Disney parks still use Zippity Doo-Dah, but they don't
Yeah, exactly.
Say where it came from.
Exactly right,
Splash,
yeah.
Splash Mountain.
Yep. And they used Song of the South characters.
Song of South. They themed it during construction.
Yeah. They had Song of the South characters selling Fords or something. You know, I'm going to my laughing place.
The Disney pins, they still make Briar Rabbit pins.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Well, I don't know if they're ever going to put it out, you know.
I doubt it.
But there actually have been some cartoons that have been kind of mothballed fairly recently. The Simpsons, and this isn't necessarily furry, they took out the episode that had Michael Jackson in it.
Did they really? That's
out of a syndication. It may still be on box sets, but they're not going to show it anymore on, I think it's FXX or whatever channel shows all the Simpsons things. They said they're not going to show that anymore.
They can't make fun of the show.
Well, I thought there was a weird contractual thing.
It was something, yeah, I don't know what was going on.
There was this weird thing is like that the voice was like maybe Michael Jackson, but maybe also not, and they couldn't like.
Well, he had a record label. Yeah, he had a record label deal, and it's like he couldn't actually say that. Just like, for example, there was a '60s special. Was it Jack and No? It was Alice in Wonderland that Hanna-Barbera made, and Sammy Davis Jr. sang the song "What's a Nice Girl Like You Doing in a Place Like This," but he couldn't do it on the record album. Because he had a contract with Reprise Records, and it's like, well, you can't do that. So they got Scatman Crothers to do it instead. And, of course, we remember Scatman Crothers. What was the superhero? Hong Kong Fooey, number one super guy. Right around that time that came out, he was on Chico and the Man. He was, you know, the garbage man or something like that. Maybe I'll put that up there. We'll give some people memories. I actually have some box sets. Someone gave me a box set of Hong Kong Fooey, and I've barely had time to watch it, you know? One of these days I'm going to have to dig it out. Okay, well, let me give you a little bit of that.
Now, of course, speaking about the band episodes, that sort of thing, and the, you know, PC culture deal.
Right.
WB, Warner Bros., has come out, like, the past 2 years or so, a lot of, I think the box sets, the things they've released. And
yep.
Where at the beginning, they've added, like, a title card, basically stating, you know, we're aware that this may offend you, blah blah blah. But you must understand it was a different time, and this is so now it's like, you know, the historical archive. I forget the wording, but basically this is how things were. Things have changed, but we're not going to back down and just act like this didn't happen.
Right? They just give you.
We're not going to just lock up the vault and then burn it down.
Yeah. And there have been cases where there have been edits. Like, again, this is not necessarily furry. The show Star Blazers that came from Japan, there was some stuff in there that, you know, may have been kind of risque, but I think the version that we got in the U.S., that was edited out. So you had that. And even things like The Little Bits, if you remember that show on Nickelodeon, apparently there was Dr. Snooze a bit. Basically, he was a drunk, but they said he drank dandelion juice, but he was really drinking. So they kind of sanitized it a little bit. So let's go back to the 70s again. This is... Yeah, that's the whole thing. This is definitely furry. And again, I'm sorry about it. I don't have the sound too well. I was 12 when this came out. Huh?
Is the large speaker not working?
Yeah, I don't have anything to plug it in. I forgot it in my car, the plug. Either that or it's not working.
No. Rosemary, the telephone operator? No. Henry, the mild-mannered janitor? Hong Kong Fooey, number one super guy. Hong Kong Fooey, got the human eye. He's got style, a groovy style, and a mob that just won't stop. When the going gets rough, he's super tough with a Hong Kong Fooey chop. Hong Kong Fooey, number one super guy. Hong Kong Fooey, got the human eye.
That even sounds like it was written for Sammy Davis Jr. Oh my god.
Yeah, but that was definitely Scatman Crothers, like I say.
Until you said it, and then as soon as you said that, I remembered the sake commercial that he did.
Oh, I probably could do the Alice in Wonderland clip too.
Oh my goodness.
The Alice in Wonderland one, or? Okay, wait a minute. Alice in Wonderland, Hanna-Barbera. Oh, you gotta go. All right, we'll see you later. Like, it's 12:30 in case people are wondering, so if you need to do something for the parade.
Yeah, that totally sounds like it was
okay, Wonderland, nice girl.
See ya.
All right.
It sounds exactly like the same.
Now, see, you had a secret identity, just like Superman and all that, and Batman. You had that. And, of course, what was popular on TV back then? Kung Fu with David Carradine or whichever Carradine it was.
Oh,
So I'm sorry. Well, I don't pay $10 a month for the what do you call it? Okay, we'll mute him. Sorry. This I do not have pay the $10 a month
for the ad free.
Actually, I probably could just do a what is it? There's a an add on. I think I probably could do that. There it is. Skip ad. I've got a Bing Crosby one that'll be interesting too. So here's Sammy with.
It's a nice kid like you doing in a place like this. What's a nice kid like you doing in a place like this? With those saddle shoes, well, I must confess, you look as though you fell into the wrong address. What's a nice kid like you doing in a place like this? Why's a nice kid like you solo and so far from home? How'd a nice kid like you get it in a hit to roam?
With those baby blues
and that mellow smile, the minute you walk in, I said, she got style. Why's a nice kid like you solo and so far from home? Why? Come on, do the monkey with me. That sure is a groovy sax.
This is 1966.
Now let's do the jerk. What's a nice kid like you doing in a place like this? What's a nice kid like you doing in a place like this? Now I got a hunch you won't like it here. The potato chips are soggy, they water the beer. What's a nice kid like you doing in a place like this? Now you could be in pictures with that cute little face, so how come you hanging around this funky place? What's a nice kid like you doing in a place like this? I'm splitting. Doing in a place like this. I gotta leave. Doing in a place like this. Like, bye. Doing in a place like this. I bet you can't see me. Doing in a place like this. I'm gonna close my big mouth and split.
Okay, that was now, see, you don't hear her sing or anything. Janet Waldo, Penelope Pitstop, and Judy Jetson. She was the voice of Alice in that. Some of these things, the whole special may be on YouTube or something, or I'm not sure what, but some of them were TV specials, and maybe there's music rights issues. What does it say? F?
Yeah.
I'm trying to. How come? Won't let me do it.
Oh, press that. It's funny when there's rights issues, like 50
F? Players. Yeah, there it is. Okay. Well, what happened, like I say, on the soundtrack album, they had to have Scatman Crothers, because Sammy had a contract with Reprise, so he couldn't do that. Now, this reminds me of another TV special that came out around 1970. The Patty Freeling did this one. This was Bing Crosby doing The Human Race. It was from Goldilocks, which, again, the Patty Freeling did, Crosby. And the whole special is not on, however, Human Race. Apparently, they gave their permission to have this song on. So this is, again, to Patty Freeling, who did this.
What are you, a senior citizen? You know, there might be a little more to this story than you remember, too. It's been a while since you heard it. They left the cool and went for a walk in the woods.
Papa, what's the matter with people?
Well, now let's see. How can I answer that one?
Is it one of those things I'm not old enough to know?
No, it's not one of those. It's just that, well, there's a lot to tell. From the day they're born, it begins that frantic race that no one wins. Well, it's the human race, the bustling, hustling people chase. Oh, what a marathon they're off upon, the human race. Half asleep there out the doorway. On the run they start the day. They make big deals and spin their wheels to make a little extra pay. In a panic, how they scurry with a mortgage on their backs. Gotta cheat the clocks and beat the stocks, meet a higher income tax. Oh, it's the human race, the human race. The bustling, hustling people chase. What a frantic pace they gotta face, the human, human race.
All the Tom Bendicks and Murrays work their fingers to the bone to keep their herds in cars and furs, or keeping up with Mrs. Jones.
We never had to worry about that, did we, Dad?
No, I had a fur coat before we were married.
That ways from worry, but they don't lie on their backs. They fret and sweat, they get upset, struggle and they just relax.
Oh, it's the human race, the human race.
Dance?
Delighted.
La 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 la. The human, human race. They create great super speedways, motor cars with extra cars.
Then they rush away and waste the day, moving 7 miles an hour.
Bumper to bumper, they pollute the streams and rivers. They contaminate the air. Now they're on the race to outer space.
5, 4, 3, 2.
I'm glad that I'm a grizzly bear. Well, it's the human race, the human race, the hustling, bustling people chase. Oh, what a marathon, they're overflowing, the human, human race. Oh, what a marathon, they're overflowing, the human, human. The fret, the sweat, bust and hustle, human, human race.
Now, wasn't that beautiful?
That
so Patty Freeling did such a good job with that.
That was so self-aware.
And the thing is, I think Bing Crosby's estate owns that, and they put that on, but they don't put the whole thing out. They apparently own the rights, and they're not releasing it. Not everything that was ever made is out there for release, you know? So
okay.
I was thinking about that. Now, I'm going to play something else from the 60s now. Late 60s, 69 or so, 68. Chattanooga Cats. This is Hanna-Barbera. Now, kind of a feline rock group. You had one of the voices was Casey Kasem, but I don't think you're going to hear him in this as Groove. But they had the Chattanooga Cats cartoons. They were a band. They also had as part of the show Around the World in 79 Days, and It's the Wolf, if you remember that one. And then the other one was Motor Mice and Auto Cat, which was one of the voices was Marty Ingalls, who was married to Shirley Jones. This here was originally a song in a softcore porn movie. It was called Jenny Wife Child, and it's How Do You Like Me in My Birthday Suit? Okay, so kids, we're going to learn about being naked. Okay? He had a record album of 12 of the songs from this series back in the 60s.
Most of all, I wanna show my prison for the warning.
I thought the songs in this were really good. And the sad part is the woman you hear singing, Peggy Klinger, died of a drug overdose in the mid-70s. She was about 25 years old. Very sad. Peggy Klinger, she was part of a group called the Klinger Sisters. And so there you go. And you had Michael Lloyd and Mike Curb doing the music. They also did the theme song. I mean, I don't know if I should play it because it's not necessarily furry for Hot Wheels. And so when you hear the Hot Wheels theme, basically you're hearing the same people that did the Chattanooga Cats. Okay, wait a minute. I should do cartoon. I got to remember to add that. Cartoon. So this was about the same time, 1969. I'm keeping an eye on the clock. We only have too many minutes left. But this is like a catchy tune. Oh, come on. I got to add that word. So anyway, Hot Wheels cartoon. Is that it? Yeah, that's... Well, this one here, I'm not sure if the theme song is on it. Can't hear it too well, but Hot Wheels. And one of the characters, Dexter, was voiced by the late great Casey Kasem.
I just want you to drive for the people against the Hot Wheels. I'm not that angry at them, Dexter, but they did turn you down, didn't they? Well, yeah. All right, I'll try.
And of course, Shaggy on Scooby-Doo, and as I mentioned, one of the Chattanooga Cats. And he was in Josie and the Pussycats and everything like that. There were so many great things. So now that we got things like YouTube and everything like that, and there's the DVDs, there's the various channels on TV, you can relive these. Again, someone like me, yeah, once in a while it would be on TV and you could watch it, but now you've got access to this. And you've got things like, I mentioned Jerry Beck, a lot of these box sets will have mini documentaries about the series, and people like Jerry Beck will be on it. They'll interview the different voices and the writers and things like that. So there's a treasure of stuff. And then more recent things, of course, there's things like Family Guy, which has a lot of box sets of that. And then just to give you a taste of some more recent stuff, because I know some of you may not be as familiar with the older stuff, but what do I have here? This is as close to Warner Brothers as I might get. That one's loud.
You're lucky, it's Bucky. I'm absolutely ducky. All the shows seem yucky now that Bucky's on the air. I'm wacky, I'm quacky, and egomaniacy. Captain Play is the lackey of this stuff extraordinaire. Who knows the way to close his endless baffling beak? Drop an ankle down a planet's feather in the sink. Toast him, cross him, the show will still be posted. It's the Bucky Duck Show, and it's on each week. Atlantic's are frantic. He gets romantic. My talent's so gigantic, it'll burst from your TV. The writers are hackers. The artists always actors. The actors are yackers. But don't complain, it's free. Rocky goes to Acme to learn to be a star. They're all tutors at the school. I don't care who they are. So enjoy, don't be coy, and don't fall for a decoy. It's the Rocky Duck Show for the laugh. I also wrote this song.
Of course, after Roger Rabbit, you had a lot of stuff like this where people were bringing back, bringing back the memories of the Looney Tunes characters and things like that.
Hanna-Barbera, one of the most influential studios in the world of animation.
Get F out of it.
They were the first to truly focus.
Well, this is still, this is like a little documentary or something.
Anything dust.
Oh, there was even a time during the 1970s.
This is like 21 minutes, that's the problem. And we're almost, we got about 5 more minutes or something like that. I haven't even played some of my, how do I access this? Let me go back to there. We may go back to that in a minute, but there was some shows on the Disney Channel that, one particularly I like because, being a raccoon from out of Canada, you have the raccoons. So let me get that out real quick. And then, of course, there was Gummy Bears, so I might play that a little bit.
The Gummy Bears theme song is so good.
Yeah. Okay, opening theme. So this would have been part of their lineup in the afternoon. Oh, an ad. I hate ads. Sorry. Here it is. Okay.
This is the evergreen forest. Quiet, peaceful, serene. That is until Burt Reckon wakes up.
Could have done a lot more with Disney. We only have so much time. But this wasn't actually Disney. It was run on Disney Channel.
Luckily, he has some good friends to help him out. Life would be simple in the forest, except for Cyril Sneer. And his life would be simple, except for the raccoons.
Bert Raccoon, con panelist. I can't really do the voice, I'm sorry. Okay, let's do Gummy Bears, if we can get that real quick here. Gummy Bears. Great song, too. The theme, there it is, I got the intro. Here we go. Again, I'm getting to some of the more recent stuff now. 80s, 90s. With stories to share. All through the forest they sing out in chorus, marching along as their song fills the air. Gummy bears bouncing here and there and everywhere. Along with the secret of gummy bear juice, their legend is growing. They take pride in knowing they fight for what's right. It's whatever they do. Gummy bears bouncing here and there and everywhere. I adventure that's beyond compare. They are the gummy bears. They are the gummy bears. That was quality stuff. It's about 13 of, as I mentioned, we're going to wind up about 10 of, because you got to get time to watch the parade. Does anyone have any questions? Do you want to bring up something in the 5 minutes or so we've got? 3 minutes?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Banana splits. I know it's not a cartoon, but can we talk about the banana splits? And
how? Oh, yes. Someone was mentioning that yesterday, about the horror movie that just came out. Is it out? I think it's out now. You can rent it or something, right?
I saw the trailer for it, and I thought it was a parody, and I didn't know if it was
I heard that it was real, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
They just, well, they own the characters and they figure, let's make some money from them. There is supposed to be a Hong Kong Fooey movie coming out. There's supposed to be a Pink Panther movie, as in the Pink Panther in a live-action environment, blended in a la Roger Rabbit. I heard that is in the works.
Not another Pink Panther movie.
Yeah, so the character will be in there. Kind of like, does anyone remember things like, what was it, Rocky and Bullwinkle, there was a movie, Boris and Natasha, and then they had the Back in Action and Space Jam, where they mixed the characters and everything. We saw that at the very beginning, the Top Cat ad, where you had the characters blended in with live-action animation. And, of course, in 1988, when Roger Rabbit came out, it's amazing. It's like, well, okay, we can have Daffy and Donald on the same scene. They've got to have equal billing. Okay. We can put Bugs and Mickey in the same scene. Okay, give them equal billing. And after that, they all kind of went into legal squabbling. There never was a Roger Rabbit 2. Well, I mean, they had shorts. They had more shorts. But there was not an actual movie with Eddie Valiant or something. You know, because they had a squabble between Spielberg and Disney and the various other things.
Nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it was just great. And when that came out, I was like... And this was well before a lot of the computer animation. And since I'm doing the Zootopia panel tomorrow, that is amazing what they did with that movie. Some people were saying it was so real, it was like you're watching live action. You know, the illusion of real life, it was amazing what they did with that movie. Not just the content, but the look of it. It looked like it was real, real, real. And yet it was still a cartoon. So I will be talking about Zootopia tomorrow. We'll see if we can get a speaker working or something. That's tomorrow at 1:30. It's now 10 of. I thank you. Fursuit Parade, get downstairs. You will see it. And that gives you just enough time to get down there.
You mentioned the issue with states where they'll release some items or...
Yeah.
They'll make an available catalog of things you can pay to license or whatever.
Right. Like the Patty Freeling, there's about 5 or 6 different companies that own the rights.
And then there's other items they just, for some reason, can't or don't want to. But plenty of cases where it's items you go that where one company owns the rights or a state owns the rights, and they could, but they choose not to.
They choose not to.
They want to just quietly die. You given us a lot of interest. You go, well, yeah. What's the matter? If you own the rights free and clear, it's yep. not racist or anything. Like, what's the problem?
I know,
make the money.
If you ever watch some of these movies that they spoofed on Mystery Science Theater 3000, some of them are like so bad, but they actually got the rights to make them and have them shown on the channel and everything. And the people that made those really lousy movies actually made some money off it when you think about it. So it's like, you know, something like Clutch Cargo or whatever. You know, it can be so bad it's good. Why don't you put it out there? Some people want to see it, you know? And things like rights, this isn't cartoons, but WKRP in Cincinnati, it took years because of the music rights. The songs that were in episodes, it took forever to get that, and sometimes they had to recreate the songs or something. So yeah, there's all sorts of legalese out there. Okay? All right. Like I say, I got to get going because I now have 9 minutes to make it down there.
Thanks,
so, no, this is a lot of fun. Thanks a lot. We see you later. Hopefully tomorrow for Zootopia.